You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me.
I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing. Cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tune when I blew steam. Hit the lottery. Ooh, we
good morning to you on a Friday. Short week. Got here fast. That's a good thing. And it's a special day. And today is my oldest son's birthday. Yeah. Turns 31 today. Halfway to 62. Yeah, that didn't used to be a big number, but guess what? That's got to be a big number over the years. What's going on with that? Yeah, everybody getting older. That's what I'm figuring out. So, to my oldest son, John Francis McNamara, happy birthday. So, yeah, big man's 31. So, yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know, obviously your first kid, right? John was born. I was the first lieutenant at Camp Pendleton. And he was born San Clemente General Hospital, which I don't know what it is now. I think it's some kind of clinic or something. But it used to see the sign going down I-5 for San Clemente General. It's no longer there. There's still something there. I'm not exactly sure what it is. But so we go there, and I remember two things about it. Three things. One is that my wife Susan was in labor for 9 hours, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. Her mom had 8 kids, and so she swore by the epidural. But our doctor was on vacation, and the doctor on call or filling in, he wasn't savvy and wasn't comfortable with it, and so, yeah, old-fashioned way. So I remember thinking, yeah, I'm glad that's not me, man. That looks like a below-average experience. Until the baby comes, then it's good. But that there was a Hispanic woman yelling in Spanish. Hi, Mom, de Dios. Oh, my God. And it went on and on and on and on. And she was in labor. I remember that. And then, you know, then you're all of a sudden. And for me, I'd thought about, you know, what are my kids going to look like? You know, at some point, you know, we'll have kids. And I remember even doing it when I was younger and single. I mean, I'm going to have a kid someday. I wonder what it's going to be like. And I wanted to name my first son, our first son, after my dad. And Susan was good with that. And I remember calling him and telling him. Very special moment, right, in your life when you tell your dad that, you know, we didn't tell anybody, and that you named him after your son after him. So, yeah, all cool things. And so, yeah, so John Francis McNamara, happy birthday. So before I do anything else, I got to take care of a little bit of family business, right? As he turns 31, man, that's a big number, bro. I got to tell you, used to be not that big, but now, what happened? The greatest rendition of the song ever.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
Nah, he's not the president yet. But, you know, come on, he's your kid. You never know. Yeah. Hope springs eternal in a parent. So anyway, happy birthday to my oldest. The tell you what we're gonna do today. The somebody sent me an email about the whole Banyan and this book written by Michael Wolff and all that. You know, when you take when you take bad people into your operations, and let me just tell you what my thoughts about Steve Bannon. You know, I played one of his speeches one day, and the whole concept of economic nationalism, I feel about that. There's not much that I disagree with about that. You know? The United States has to begin to fight for the American worker. And you hear that theme. Right? It has to fight for things like community banks that fund entrepreneurs from the inner city. So it's got to do that. We can't export our industry every time we stand it up and it becomes mature so somebody can make more money by moving it to another country and selling it back to the United States, where it doesn't have an OSHA, it doesn't have an EPA, it doesn't have the costs associated with doing business in a mature nation. So let me take it to some, you know, banana republic where I can exploit workers. I don't have to pay any of the costs associated, and all that becomes profit. Yeah, that's the ticket. How do you sustain the middle class? How do you sustain the middle class? So when you hear economic nationalism, and I'll tell you what, if you didn't hear the program yesterday, then you need to dial that some bitch up, okay? It's in the podcast. One, listen to Grant Newsham, and also I would recommend that you go to the Wall Street Journal, and I wonder if it's still on the Drudge Report, which is where I saw it. But, let me see if I still have it. You never know. One never knows about these things. Hold on. Clicking through tabs. Mattis, Korea drill, a logistics pause, not a political one. Iran. Wall Street Journal. Yes. All right. So, this is a homework assignment. The article is entitled Make Iran Great Again. It's by Dan Henninger. And now you might need a subscription to read the damn thing. Anyway, it's a great article. And he says, look, when you hear people in Iran chanting death to Khomeini, you know, you should hear West Virginia coal miners say, make America great again. Okay, what you should hear is the voice of the working populace of different nations around the world, from France to voters in the UK who voted for Brexit, voters in Austria who voted and said, hey, we're not about having open borders and turning our country over to people that aren't Austrian. We like being Austrian. We are Austrian. We want to maintain our Austrian identity. And these immigration policies are not what we're about. Now, is that racist? Is that bad? Well, I guess somebody else can decide that, or we can talk about it. But I think we can all say and agree that the Muslim thing is different. if you watch what's happened in France. France is at a loss of how do they deal with this Muslim thing they've created without having a civil war. Don't identify with your country. You're there for the benefits. Form their own communities. Turn their back on your. Don't know. Don't care to embrace anything about your country. We're only there because it's better than where we came from, and we can come here. So I think the European concern over the whole. And it's not, if you're a Muslim, you want to come to the country and assimilate, that's fine. But I don't think that's what Europeans are concerned about. And so when you hear them discussing immigration policies, they're concerned about their own identities as Germans, as Austrians. Are we going to go the way of France? Are we going to wind up having to fight in every city in our nation over this stuff? So, but that is the voice of the middle class. It's not the voice of the elites. The elites are, yeah, open trade. So it's you have service people, and then you'll have high paying jobs. And in the middle class, where does it go? It goes away. So the article is called "Make Iran Great Again." All right, and again, it deals with, I believe. Liberals and scholars who have this kind of utopian vision of the world, but that's not the way the world really works. So it was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. Also, listen to Grant Newsham yesterday and make you smart. He had interesting things to say about Iran. He's an intel guy, retired intel guy, but he had interesting things to say about Iran as well as the Koreas. So I would tell you to listen to that. But the gist of the article that Daniel Henninger wrote was that the Iranian regime has taken domestic money. And they spread it all over the Middle East, fostering terrorism. In fact, they spread it all over the world. The Iranian people, and if you ask most anybody who's traveled there, they will tell you this, that they lean pro-Western. And so it's almost like, you know, you see it in North Korea. You know, somehow or other, you know, somebody's hijacked the nation. And they do what they will with it. And in Iran, they went from the Shah to, the Ayatollah Khomeini, who ruled in essentially a theocracy. And they have that entrenched now. How do you get rid of it? Good question. Again, there's another article that I'd recommend because it has a map of where all the protests were. In 2009, the protests were essentially in Tehran. Okay, now they are all over the country. So I don't know that the government of Iran has the ass to put this all down. So the question becomes, what happens? Now, if you're the government, what do you say? Well, you know, we'll just go ahead and we'll weather the storm. And more than likely they will. If you try to put it down violently, then what? And how do you get to a different form of government there? Without a violent revolution? I don't know that you do. Because I don't know that that theocratic state is going anywhere. But imagine, if you will, you know, much like when the Soviet Union went away, the thought of no Soviet Union romping around the world, right, making the world a worse place, the lying and the garbage that the Russian government does now, that went away. It was like, whoa, what just happened? Well, imagine the Middle East without Iran. Without Iran destabilizing Syria, destabilizing Lebanon, funding Hezbollah, threatening Jordan, funding the Houthis. Imagine that not going on. And those regions being left to decide for themselves, you know, how they govern themselves and in what manner. Yeah, it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. So anyway, I would recommend those things to you. On this Friday, the Auburn Radio Head Chef's going to join us. Yesterday, the Gunner, if you missed him, Gunner has been under the weather, but he's emerging. He's emerging because he's a man. He's emerging, and he talked about mail order seafood. So I talked to the Almarine Radio Head Chef, Kim Holmes, last night, and I said, hey, man, do some research about that, okay? And then we'll talk about it. Because he said, oh, yeah, there's some great, great stuff that you can get. He said, you're going to pay for it. I said, okay, well, here's what we need. We need to know, how do I know who to do business with? Who's good, who's bad? What would you tell me? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. At least we'll start out with that this morning. So we'll do that at about 8 o'clock. Gunner joins us at 9 here on a Friday. And we'll check the news headlines coming up next. The whole book thing with the president, I don't know what to make of it. But if you peruse the headlines this morning, I would conclude this about the book, and I started with Bannon and got sidetracked to in Iran. When you bring guys that are less than savory, and Bannon certainly seems that case, when you bring those kind of people into your midst, this is what you get. Character counts. Character counts. And when you bring the unscrupulous burn it down at any cost, which is what he is, and make no mistake, he cost the Republicans that seat in Alabama. And I don't know how he convinces people to give him money, but he is a bit of a Svengali. His message, I think, though, is a message that resonates with the American people. Economic nationalism. Our first priority ought to be the American worker, not workers in any other part of the world. And so to the extent that we negotiate treaties that export our industry, screw that. We can't do that. And the thing that really kills me about all this is we look back over the course of the last, let's just talk the last 17 years. Do any of the people that create these events, do any of them pay for them? No, they all live as millionaires. And they go play in government in this theoretical game they play that impacts real people's lives. And then they walk away from it and write books and go on and live lives that most of us could only dream about. And so from Iran to France to Austria to the UK to the United States, you know, you're seeing a pushback on the intellectuals of this world that say, yeah, your job doesn't matter. What really matters is this utopian scheme that I have, in which we all become a one blended culture on this planet, in which we treat China and North Korea and Russia as just other partners, as well as Iran. They don't pose any threat to anybody. We can talk to them. And that was Barack Obama's conclusion. That's why he didn't do anything in 2009 when there was a similar uprising, much smaller, in Iran. He didn't say anything. That's why he didn't even utter the word Islamic terrorism. Because, come on. It's the world of fantasy. Nations operate in their own economic interests. So, anyway, and when you bring people without character into your operations, then you get what Donald Trump's getting. And he's learning it the hard way. So, let that be a lesson to everybody. Yeah. He just had his daughter called dumber than a bag of hammers by, as I think that's what he said, dumb as a brick, by Steve Bannon. Nice. Nice. Well done. Well played. Anyway, so good morning to you. Whitney Houston's going to sing the national anthem here. And I don't know what to make of all of that. Honestly, what do you make of all that? You know, is there anything of substance in any of that? Or is it simply Bannon throwing dirt up in the air and getting another week's worth of publicity for his thing, whatever his thing is, taking on the Republican Party? So I don't know. The Department of Justice announced that they're going to reopen the investigations into, I believe, twin investigations into the pay-to-play at Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, which relates to the Uranium One thing, and also the email scandal. I honestly think that given all the different data points relative to the FBI, I think that most people don't believe that we got to the truth. And I say that in a nonpartisan way. I think that most people don't believe that we got to the truth. Or maybe even close to it. Or maybe we did get close to the truth and then turned our back from it and said, yeah, we're not doing that. We're not smoking her as a political candidate. Yeah, it's wrong. It would have sent all kinds of other people to jail. Anybody in the military would be, you know, would be in Leavenworth right now for doing what she did. But we're not going there with a political candidate, with the ordained political candidate of the Democratic Party, let alone former First Lady and a senator. We're not doing that. So I am curious, though, now, and I need to get DJ Furness on the wire to know how people on Capitol Hill access the classified network. How do they do that? Do they have to go someplace to do that? Is there a secure area in certain Senate offices, certain House offices, that they're provided that access and that's kept under lock and key? How do they access that? Because, again, those systems don't touch ever. So the only way it can be done is if somebody transposes, somebody takes pictures of screenshots, pictures with a cell phone maybe. So what was the method that they used to cross check information that is TSSCI, some of it, into her personal email, which is crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So anyway, we'll talk about some of that stuff today. We'll check the news headlines. We'll talk food. Gunner's going to join us. I got a gun thing I need to talk to him about. So, good morning. Happy birthday to my son, January 5th, 2018. First weekend of the new year coming up. The NFL playoffs start this weekend, if you watch such things. The college national championship is coming up. And then spring training starts in 5 weeks for pitchers and catchers, starts in 7 weeks for position players. Yeah. If you're a Yankee fan, it can't come quick enough. So, with all that said, good morning to you. a headline that says troops must be 21 to buy tobacco, e-cigarettes in Guam. You know what? I think that's the biggest bunch of bullshit in the world. So you're going to go get, you have a gun, you're going to go fight and get killed for your country. You can't buy a cigarette, though. You can't buy a beer. How bullshit is that? It just irritates me. I remember arguing with a woman, this is years ago on my on the first talks where I ever did, and she said, well, the reason that the drinking age is 21 is that their brains aren't fully developed yet, and they can't make, and I said, but they can go die for their country. And then she, I said, no, wait a minute. If you can go die for your country, if you can go pull a trigger and kill somebody for your country, you can have a beer. Okay? And maybe the rest of the population shouldn't be entitled to that, and I'm okay with that. But you have a military ID?
God bless them.
That's Colleen. You have a military ID? You get served in any bar you go into in the United States, Guam, Puerto Rico, you name it, all that. Yeah, you can go get whacked, but you can't, and go do the bidding of your nation, but you can't buy a cigarette. You can't buy a beer. Give me a break. It's the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. And I love to hear the people that argue against it. Then don't let them enlist until they're 21. How can they make that decision to commit themselves to that period of time, to that kind of life, to possibly those conditions? I mean, come on. Isn't that a more serious decision than drinking a beer? Oh, God, it kills me. Absolutely, positively kills me. And if they are too young, yeah, let's move. Oh, we can't do that. Okay, then guess what you're going to have to live with? You're going to have to live with young people having a beer and doing stupid things.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Here's an email. Thank God, some common sense, Mac. Whoever thought it would come from you, though? Not being able to drink, but being able to be killed in combat for your country has been a pet peeve of mine forever. And I agree with you. Maybe the rest of the country shouldn't be allowed to drink, but if you have a military ID, and look, I'd even draw the line. No, I was going to say reservist, but it's too hard to, but like, You can drink if you're on active duty, but if you're not, no. So if you have a military ID card, you can drink. Yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Too bad. Yeah, they have special privileges. Guess what? When you sit on your ass here and do nothing, they go places. They get shot at. They might get killed. There you go. Membership has its privileges. Here's another one. Boom, bitches. You can die, but you can't drink. It's killed me. I remember reading an article. Some battalion from Camp Pendleton redeploying. Reporter asked the Marine, "Bet you can't wait home to have a nice cold beer after all this hot weather and craziness." "Sir, I'm only 20. I won't be allowed to have a beer." And I think that was after some craziness in like Fallujah or something like that. Well, you can go do that every day, but you can't have a beer. It's ridiculous. Check the weather. 19 degrees and sunny in Quantico. 24 at Camp Lejeune and sunny. See, this doesn't happen in the South where the sun is used primarily as a source of illumination and not of heat. Yeah, it's a bit different. It happens in the northern plains, but not so much in the southern part of the United States. Gunner's warming up. It's mostly sunny and 39 to get today in Granbury, Texas. But Montana's warmer than Texas. Cloudy and 44 up in the land of Montana, man. 29 Palms. Sunny in 47, Pendleton, cloudy in 45. Camp Pendleton and Montana, same temperature. Okinawa is warming up, cloudy, dark, and 63. Marja, clear, dark, and 49. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy in 54 degrees, on our way to 72 degrees today. For tonight, fog and 56. Tomorrow, clouds and 71. And then on Sunday, clouds and 71 as well. That is a look at your weather here on All Marine Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. And when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to check the headlines on Marine Corps Times, because I'd like to do that. And then we're going to check the top five on the early bird. So, don't touch that dial. I've got an email about, I'll read you an email about the upcoming Civil War. Mac, states don't enforce immigration laws. They don't respect detain orders from the Federal Immigration Service. They declare themselves sanctuaries. I thought we were a nation of laws. Now, with the Sessions proclamation relative to discretion of federal prosecutors in terms of marijuana laws, states are again saying, we will not have any of that. What is becoming of us as a nation of laws? It seems like we're a confused nation right now. I think, well said. I think we are, I don't know that we're confused. I think we're a politically divided nation that is taking our political differences into places that we've never really taken them before. Because I think states and the federal government have always respected the lines drawn where politics belongs and where it doesn't belong. I think those lines are quickly going away. And politics goes everywhere. And again, we're seeing it. Again, maybe it's just that we're seeing it now. I mean, look at all the data points in relative to the conduct of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Does that make you feel good? It doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me, I mean, it's like, Mac, you're cherry boy. Yeah, Justice, she's not blind. She peeks through that little blindfold she has. Yeah, she peeks. And they peak. Make no mistake about that. If you don't know that, you're stupid. All right. I got that email before. So maybe it's just the way it is. Maybe it's now more out in the open. Anyway. More of Almond Radio coming up next.
Hi, Josh Gruber, General Manager at PS.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Brilliant Disguise.
I want to read your mind and know just what I've got in this new thing I found. So tell me what I see.
It's called Brilliant Disguise. Here it comes. Let's talk about some headlines in the news, all right? A couple things. Marine Corps is going to expand combat engineer squads. So yesterday we talked about with the gunner, our guy Shkogel. I've been trying to get Shkogel on, and we're not syncing up. He writes a lot of stuff. He is the writer, in my opinion, that you see writing the most at Marine Corps Times. Anyway. Interested if he has any predictions for Marine Corps in 2018. The Marine Corps is increasing the size of combat engineer squads to make up for the loss of infantry assault Marines who are being phased out over time, Marine Corps confirmed on Thursday. Combat engineer squads are being increased from 9 to 13 Marines, said Lieutenant Colonel Amy Punzel, a spokesman for the Combat Development and Integration Command. This change to the combat engineer squad will offset the loss of O351. Wait, I thought that the loss of O351 were buying cyber people. That I don't know what they do. This change increases the engineer capability while also increasing infantry assault mobility and counter mobility. Capabilities. Anyway, I'm kind of curious about the Marine Corps did this 2025 thing. Again, looking out past the horizon. What are we going to be? What's it look like? Blah, 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 blah. How does this all fit in? So anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll get the gunner's thoughts on that. Troops must be 21 to buy tobacco or e-cigarettes in Guam. Now, again, I don't advocate that you could smoke, okay, because I think that's just ridiculous. The single worst thing you could do in your body. Why don't you drink some battery acid, by the way? But anyway, that's the policy that went into effect in Guam on Monday. So I've said enough about that. I think it's stupid. I think the liquor thing is stupid. Yeah, even stupider than smoking is the liquor thing. This came out late yesterday afternoon. The Secretary of Defense held some kind of press availability yesterday, and after we went off the air. The decision hit the pause on drills with the South Koreans, which was requested by South Korea and agreed upon Thursday morning, was a matter of logistics, Mattis told reporters yesterday at the Pentagon. I would say for us it's a practical matter, Mattis said, emphasizing the number of tourists expected for the Olympics and the police presence needed to secure them would make doing the military drills, which spread through South Korea, a logistical nightmare. The Olympics being held in the South Korean city of Pyeongchang come amid a year of heavy tensions between the two Koreas, but there is hope among officials in Seoul that the Games will act as a backdrop for talks between the governments of Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in. There you have it. All right, so and you heard what Grant Newsom thought about hope being a course of action on the Korean Peninsula. That's not a course of action. Let's see. There's a whole series of things that are pretty interesting in the early bird this morning. One, U.S. suspends security assistance to Pakistan. Okay, they got put on notice, 90 days ago? Hey, stop allowing the Taliban to use your nation as a staging ground to conduct combat operations in Afghanistan. You know where they are. We've told you where they are. Go get them. Anyway, the decision by the U.S. to suspend security assistance to Pakistan could have serious consequences for the American-led fight in Afghanistan and potentially further strengthen ties between Islamabad and China. You know, it's not like Pakistan's a great friend of ours. You want to dance with the Chinese? Dance with the Chinese, I guess. State Department spokesman Heather Nauert announced new restrictions on Thursday that cover security assistance above and beyond $255 million for Pakistani purchases of American military equipment that the administration held up in August, but it was not immediately clear how much money and material were being withheld. Nauert made clear that the $255 million was still blocked. The new action targets payments of so-called coalition support funds that the U.S. pays to Pakistan to reimburse it for its counterterrorism operations. Those funds are typically paid later in the year and already require U.S. certification, so the effect of Thursday's announcement was unclear. So, again, all this is calling a spade a spade. We pay Pakistan, and they allow the Taliban to reside and commute to work. Hours before the announcement, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis was asked if there was any signals from Pakistan that cutting the aid would result in the GLOC, which is the truck route into Afghanistan, being closed, to which he responded, "We have no indication of anything like that." But closing the GLOC remains a long-standing concern for the United States. Those lines represent the cheapest way of getting supplies to U.S. forces in Afghanistan, something the Pentagon learned the hard way between November 2011 and July of 2012, when Pakistan shut the GLOC routes down following an incident where 24 Pakistani soldiers were killed by NATO forces during the Afghan-Pakistan on the Afghan-Pakistan border. So, you got all that. Again, it's just finally calling Pakistan out. And if it costs us more to fly stuff in there, then so be it. But they've got to get put on notice and then ultimately, you know, attack Taliban targets in their country. Right? It is what it is. I mean, it's the same thing that we did in Vietnam, right? Can't go into Laos, can't go into Cambodia, and they won't stop it. So your adversary goes in there with impunity. So why wouldn't you go in there with impunity? Oh, because we're a law-abiding country, so we just get played like a chump? Yeah, I say not so much. The Trump administration issued, second story is Trump administration issues a new round of sanctions aimed at Iran. So this happened yesterday as well. Against five Iranian companies on Thursday, and continue to support protesters who have spent more than a week staging demonstrations against the Iranian government. These sanctions target any entity or key entities involved in Iran's ballistic missile program, which the Iranian regime prioritizes over the economic well-being of the Iranian people, Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin said. As the Iranian people suffer, their government and the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps fund foreign militants, terrorist groups, and human rights abuses. The United States will continue to decisively counter the Iranian regime's malign activity, including additional sanctions targeting human rights abuses. So, that going on. So that's number two in the early bird. Number three, South China Sea reef that became an island. So we talked about this on a number of occasions, but there's an interesting picture. If you go to the early bird, the article's out of Asia Times. Grant Newsham writes for them. This is a staff article, and this says in pictures the South China Sea reef that became an island. And the reef is called Fiery Cross Reef. Has been transformed into a 2.8 square kilometer fortified airbase in one of several reclamation projects known as the Great Wall of Sand by the Chinese. So if you just scroll down, you see a series of pictures and what they've done to this reef. Pretty, pretty amazing as they continue to build the reef out. Yeah. Yeah. So I would go ahead and check that out. Something we talked about helps you be able to see it. Another interesting story. United States Air Force, skies over Iraq and Syria are a treasure trove for adversary eyes. I thought we controlled those skies. Why are they a treasure trove? Russia and China are studying American air power over Syria and Iraq. U.S. Air Force generals are worried they have already learned too much. In the past, the U.S. competed against Soviet Union's brute force and China's overwhelming numbers, but the two adversaries could soon outpace the U.S. with more sophisticated and wider-reaching surface-to-air and air-to-air missiles. As the U.S. has ramped up airstrikes against ISIS over the past 2 years, its peer adversaries have been watching and finding ways to close their capability gaps, says two top United States Air Force generals, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations and the Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, also known as ISR. Quote, "We have to stop thinking like the champion and start thinking like the contender," said Lieutenant General Mark Nolan, who handles operations. And he told that to an audience on Capitol Hill. "Our competitors are not only imitating us, they're improving upon what we've done. Russia's gained valuable information operating in a contested airspace along with the United States over Syria and are incorporating those lessons in their strategy." Yeah, but again, the Russians, they can't do it. Anybody who's seen them operate, I mean, they can fake it for a short period of time, but the Chinese certainly can. Our adversaries are watching us. The skies over Iraq and specifically Syria have really just been a treasure trove to see how we operate. We also know we're watched when we conduct operations off various coasts and also over the Korean Peninsula. But you know what? To me, this is a little bit of a wolf crying. When is this not the case? It's not like they don't constantly watch us. So, interesting article though. And number five, this is kind of a commentary out of Defense News. And I was talking to my son last night, and I said, you know, it'll be really, really interesting to watch how Secretary Mattis handles the United States Navy. And so the article's in Defense News. The title of the article is, "Does the Navy Have a Strategy Beyond Hope?" Yikes. There's another interview I just saw on the sideboard here. Interview U.S. Navy's top surface warfare officer on collisions, LCS, which is littoral combat ships, I believe, and warfare. So, does the U.S. Navy have a strategy beyond hope? The U.S. Navy begins this year in a crisis. By its own admission, many of its ships and aircraft are in poor condition. Training is not where it should be. Its ships can't maneuver properly around other ships, and Navy leaders for years have complained the service is overstretched, constantly struggling to meet requirements and falling short in a number of areas. It is by no means clear that new ideas and concepts are being implemented to counter ever-growing military rivals. Worldwide challenges abound. China is effectively moving the U.S. out of the Western Pacific positions of influence held since the 1940s, ironically using a fast-growing and ever more effective naval force modeled on that of the United States. Virtually every country in the region is reevaluating political and military realities as China's influence grows. Russian sea power is reasserting itself in the Med, Black and Baltic Seas, and most disturbingly in undersea arenas, where a growing threat could compromise or destroy undersea cables upon which the internet relies. Is the U.S. Navy ready? Is it up to the task? Do we see evidence that it is? In a word, no. Aside from resting on past laurels, there seems to be little reason to pervasively argue otherwise. Yikes. The world's media abounds with stories, videos, images of the growing military capabilities of those who would challenge the United States, much of which puts them out directly, what much of them put out directly by governments or those who support those governments. Blah, 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 blah. Where is the U.S. Navy in all this? Pretty much nowhere. Sure, there's a lot of products coming from the Defense Department sources, but increasingly it's watered down, devoid of much real content. By decree, information about operational movements and warfighting capabilities is largely stripped from official content. Blah, 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 blah. Admiral John Richardson, the Chief of Naval Operations, noted in a March 1 memo to department personnel that public communication should be done, quote, to communicate with purpose. But he added, very often, less is more. What does that mean? We're not talking about information, though, all right? We're talking about the leadership of the Navy. And so I'll tell you what, to me, one of the most interesting things that's going to happen in 2018 is the direction the Navy gets pointed in and the Secretary of Defense's stamp on it. Because he will no doubt have an opinion. And he will no doubt point them in a direction. And it's not going to be, in my opinion, it's not, especially relative to leadership, it's not going to be the course that they've been on for the last, I don't know, 17 years. This is the Navy who says that they've been overstretched and all that. The rest of the military has been at war. The Navy's carriers have participated. Their aviation element has participated. And they haven't been able to regenerate that. How is the surface fleet on its ass? Let me just tell you, I think the United States Navy is in huge, huge, huge trouble. And the problem with the Navy is it takes such big dollars to unscrew it that it's not going to happen anytime soon. And just as for years we're living with decreased aviation readiness because our general officers and flag officers at the Pentagon didn't manage our aviation assets and the budget. Because, look, you don't have to be a genius to see if you're using it at that rate in Iraq and Afghanistan. Guess what? It's going to be done here, not here. It's going to be done in 2008, not 2022. You're consuming it at such a rate that okay, yeah, but that's what we're going to do operationally. Well, then what do? How do we regenerate it? Hope's not a COA. Anyway. All right. There's one other story I wanted to get to, but I won't have time to get to it today. All right. 17 things Marines should know for 2018. So there's 17 things for 2018. Let's see if there's a list. Oh, there's just a little series of stories. New plan to grow put on hold. 2018, fast-drying and lightweight tropical uniforms and boots. Been tried before, never worked. You want to know why? Because they just get destroyed. Marine Corps drops the M855A1 round. Gunner's already commented on that. The F-35 Bravo will see its baptism by fire in 2018. Mm-hmm. The Marine Corps is going to begin to field the CH-53 Kilo Super Stallion Heavy Lift. Yeah. In 2018, 1.6 million troops will choose between old and new retirement system. Yep. Yeah. In 2018, big TRICARE changes are on the way. Is your doctor part of the plan? In 2018, lawmakers gear up for military pay and benefits fights. In 2018, U.S. troops will return to the front lines in Afghanistan as in a support role. Let me finish the headline. That's not in the headline, but it's in the headline. The fight against ISIS evolves. it'll go other places. Got it. In 2018, I think this has been in there for the last like 15 years. The Marine Corps will select an upgraded amphibious vehicle. Right. Already talked about this. 2018, replacing LAV obsolete anti-tank turrets. Small numbers, no big deal. Marines to field new radar system. We don't tend to get attacked too much from the air, but will they detect drones? Not sure. I bet they could. In 2018, court-martial for Paris Island Battalion Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Kassoon. You know, there's an interesting article recently that said the reason we have these issues at our recruit depots is because we allow people that don't normally get command to command there. Lawyers, SJA types, get more combat-related MOS guys down to the drill field, and that place gets unscrewed. Interesting little comment there. Forever GI Bill changes take effect. Benefits will expand post 9/11 Purple Heart benefits. Services to focus on excess training education requirements. Oh my God. The Secretary of Defense said that all these different training requirements that have to be serviced, have to be streamlined. And so he said he would do that. And then in 2018, there's a whole series of Marine Corps historic battle anniversaries. So we will do that as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the All Marine Radio head chef joins us. So don't touch that dial. We'll talk food. Nukes.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States.
Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Stock Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the stock community should be aware of.
The Global Stock Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.